I'm going to give you 10 steps on how to sell out your charity event every time. Now, I always get asked, how do you sell out your charity events? How do you get people to come? How do you get them to donate big money? Now, I've been raising money for charity probably for 6 or 7 years now, where we put on 2 or 3 big events a year. And every time I put those events on, we always have great acts, we always have a full house, and we always raise loads of money. So people come to me and they say, how do I do that too? And I have a system, and I'm going to give it to you today. And it's not complicated, but it is essential that you have a completely different mindset to what you probably would expect to do when it comes to raising money for charity. So follow me with this. Number one, the key thing to appreciate is this is a business, right? You need to think of this as a business and not as a charity. I think when it comes to charity events or when it comes to any kind of raising money for charity, people like to default to the fact that, oh, it's charity. People will just do this for me. Oh, it's charity. People will just do that for me. And look, there'll always be someone who'll be soft and I'll be generous because it's charity. But ultimately, a charity is a business and they are in the business of raising money. And they sometimes have to, or they often have to spend money to raise money. They have to invest in something to get an outcome. And that is what you have to appreciate. So as soon as you start thinking of it as a business and applying the kind of the usual tactics of business, of sales, of marketing, of branding, of providing customer value, of providing a return on investment, then you'll start to think very differently about how you raise your money and how you get access to the money that you want. Number two, your network is everything. Now, anyone who follows me knows I talk about networking, networking, networking. You know, the importance of building a power network to be able to get the things that you want. And nowhere is that more important than when it comes to raising money for charity. If you don't know anyone, you've got no one to go to raise money from. And when I look at my charity events, you know, if I want to put 200 people in a room, if I want to put 300 people in a room, then I need to go to 20, 30, 50 key people who I know have got the interest to come, who are going to support me because I've been scratching their back at some point in the past, and who have the, you know, who have the money to come and the interest to come. And I can only do that because I've been cultivating them in my network. If I didn't know anybody and if I didn't know the right people, I wouldn't be able to get them in. So if you're looking to start and do a big charity event tomorrow and you have a zero network, then you're going to be struggling. What you need to be doing is ensuring that you're building your network always. And, you know, you may not be ready to put a charity event on now, or it may be a small one now and a big one you're looking to do in the future, but you need to be building your network around you all the time because you're going to need it in the long term. Number three, it's important to understand there's no magic tax advantages when it comes to charity. Now, different countries, you know, depending on where you're watching this, will all have their own little tweaks of what kind of deductions businesses get or individuals get when they make a donation to charity. But whatever those deductions are, the reality still is people are putting their hand in the pocket and parting with money. Now, you know, I always hear these ludicrous things like, oh, you know, it's really easy to get them to make a charitable donation because, you know, that company makes so much profit, they've got two choices. They either give it to the tax man or they give it to charity, and they'll just give it to charity instead of giving it to the tax man. That's total bollocks, right? Yes, they may have some tax advantages for giving it to charity, but the reality is if they're going to write a check, it's still their own hard-earned money. So if you want someone to part with that money, you have to give them a reason why. You have to give them an ROI, a return on the investment. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to give them more money than what they've put in, but you've got to give them value for the money that they've put in. Now, that value could be having fun because it's a night of great entertainment you're putting on, or it could be some emotional ROI because, you know, you are letting them know how many people are helping and how much good their money's doing. Different people have got different triggers, and you need to find each person's trigger so that you know what's going to interest them and what's going to look like an ROI for them. But the key is, whoever you're trying to take money from when raising money for charity or when putting a charitable event on, you've got to be providing them ROI. No one's going to do anything just for fun. Number four, when you're putting your charitable event on, it's absolutely essential that you have a great product, you know, that you provide value, that you provide fun, that you provide good entertainment. When I set my charity up many years ago, this was actually one of our key criteria. We said that we're going to have 3 events a year and we're going to put on these great fun events that people are going to naturally want to come to. Now, I always knew that in the early days, I'd be having to lean on my network to, you know, to bring people in. But I always find the problem with charitable events, and I get dragged to back in the UK, is they're always crap, right? You know, it's a boring event in a boring venue with poor dinner, usually a crappy auction. And the only reason I've gone, or the only reason most of the audience have gone, is because, you know, the person who's putting the event on leaned on us and we've gone to do them a favor. And that's fine. You know, you can call on favors in the early days, and you can call on favors once, maybe twice, but unless you ultimately give the people something that they want to go to, you know, you can only call on those favors so many times. So for me, it was essential that yes, I was going to lean on my network. Yes, I was going to call on favors to get people to come in the first place, but I was going to make sure I put a night on that when those people walked in the room, or when they walked home at the end of the night, they were going, you know what, we had a great night tonight. I can't wait to go again next year. Yes, I did Matt a favor by coming tonight, but I actually really enjoyed it. I've got good value. I've bought a great product. I've had great fun and I've got some ROI. So that is really, really absolutely essential. So when you're planning a night, make sure it's going to be a great night. Make sure it's going to be fun, because there's so much competition for fun nights out there. And, you know, again, what did I say in the rule number one? Remember, this is a business, not a charity. It's very easy to think, oh, well, you know, people are just coming because it's a charity. They want to do good. They want to do the right thing. But ultimately, people have only got so many pounds to go around. And whether they spend it on going to a charity dinner, or whether they want to spend it going to the pub, or going to the nightclub, or going to the theatre, or whatever it may be, you know, this is your competition. This is what you're up against. So you've got to make sure that what you're offering is as good value and as good fun as possible. Number five, it's great to have celebrities at these events. You know, it looks good for the newspapers. It looks good for your marketing material when you want to advertise it again for next year. And it also makes the people who come to the event have a great time as well. Everybody likes to be surrounded by a celebrity. You know, even if it's a couple of Z-listers from the latest reality show, it just puts people in a good mood. Now, I've often gone out to PR agencies in the past and said, you know, please, can you bring me X number of celebrities down? And I always get told, yeah, we're going to bring these people, or we're going to bring those people. And the reality is they never turn up. Yes, you know, again, every owner of a PR company's got, you know, one favoured celebrity who probably they can call a favour on and drag them down. But if you think that these agencies are going to deliver you 10, 15, 20, 30 celebrities, they're just not. And if you really want to get the celebrities down there, you've got to realise that you need to pay for them. Now, again, I always hear people say, well, why won't they come for free? Or, you know, I don't want to pay them. Remember, this is a business. Think of it as a business, and that as long as you raise more money in the end than you've put in at the beginning, then you've achieved your job. But you're going to have to make some investments along the way. And these celebrities, you know, they're busy people like anybody else. You know, they don't have to go to your event. They can be going somewhere else. And they also know that their time and their appearance will help you achieve your goals. So they actually do deserve some money. So find a way to build into your budget a way to pay these people. Once you pay them, you're going to know for sure that they're coming. Once you know that they're coming, you can then use that to maybe get your press attention, or to have something extra to put in your press releases, or maybe to sell more tables or to sell more tickets. But what you can also do is find a way to offset the cost of these celebrities so that, again, it becomes an investment as opposed to a cost. Things I've done in the past is, for example, gone to some of my bigger donors and said, hey, you know, rather than paying, for example, £2,000 for a table, would you like to pay £3,000 for a table and I'll put your favourite celebrity on your table for you? So many people say yes to that kind of thing, and that celebrity's still in the room and you've effectively then been able to offset the cost of it onto somebody else. I've done things where I've booked a load of podcasts on the day of the charity event. So that's given me an excuse to be able to have some budget to hire celebrities to book them for something else. But I've said, look, in return for booking you for the podcast, I expect you to stay along in the evening and attend the charitable event. Listen, all different ways to sell it to yourself, to justify it to yourself, or to get money in the pot. But the key is, if you want celebs, expect to pay for them. Don't expect anyone to turn up for free. Number six, think long term. I'm going to keep going back to what I've said at the beginning, that this is a business. This is a business. And you're hopefully not just going to be putting on one charity event tonight or whenever it is. You're going to be doing this multiple times a year for many years to come. So you need to think long term. Too often people get caught up in the, you know, oh, I want to take money off everybody tonight and think very short term, where what you're very often better doing is inviting some people along for free and thinking, if I get them in the room tonight and they enjoy themselves, they could be a paying customer for me for next year. So do that. Think long term. Think, who can I invite for free? Who can I give a discount to? You know, who is going to benefit me in the long term if I'm going to have a long term commitment to this charitable fundraising? Number seven, don't get caught up in the ticket price. Now, I don't know what kind of particular events each of you watching this is putting on. I used to do you know, quite high-end events. We'd have, you know, big celebrity singers, we'd have gala dinners, etc. And the ticket prices were usually high. But sometimes when you're working out your budget, you think, oh, well, it's cost me this to put the event on, and I therefore need to sell the tables for this price to be able to make money on what it's cost to put it on. Now, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And what's most important is to get the people in the room in the first place, so you've got that captive audience, so that you can start to show them your moving cases, your emotionally charged cases that you want to raise money for, and then get money off of them in different ways. So just, you know, remember, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Don't worry if you might think, for example, you need £100 a ticket, but people are only wanting to pay 55, 60, 70 pounds a ticket. Get the people through the door. And when you've got them through the door, there's so many other ways to then take money off them. The hardest sell is that first sell, getting them in there. But once they're in the room and you can do games, raffles, tombolas, auctions, all kinds of other different things, that's when you can start to really make your money up. And also during this time as well, the people have probably had a drink. They've got their mates around them, G-ing them along. They're getting competitive with other tables, with other individuals. The 20 or 30 pounds ahead that you may have lost, in inverted commas, on the way in, you can probably make that up 10x on the way out just by having the right people around. Number 8, advertising only works if you've actually got something that somebody wants to buy. Now, I often see charitable events advertised and I look at them and think, well, that is just a total waste of advertising money or advertising time if people have got a deal on the advertising. Because when I look at the event, I just think, well, that's just a really crap event and no one's going to want to come. So I'm going to keep going back to what I've been saying along the way. Think of it as a business. Think of providing value to your customers, of ROI on the money that they put in. So if you're going to go out there and advertise, make sure you've got something worth advertising for. Number 9, charge as much as you possibly can. Now, I know this slightly contradicts what I was saying a few minutes ago about don't get caught up on the ticket price because there's more than one way to skin a cat. Now, yes, there absolutely is. But the more you can get away with charging, the better. And it also doesn't have to be on the ticket price. It could be on the raffle, on the tombola, on the auction, whatever it may be. Like any business, the more you can charge, the bigger your margins are going to be, the bigger your profit's going to be, the more you're going to have to invest in other things or to give to the charities that you're looking to support. So it's essential to be able to charge as much as possible. I think also people normally feel on the back foot and they think, oh, well, this is only worth, for example, a fiver. So that's what I'm going to charge it out there at. Listen, when you've got these people in the room, they don't look at the price. You know, they're looking at the value. They're looking at the fact that they're having a good night. So if you think something was worth a fiver, try and charge a tenner. If you think it was worth a tenner, try and charge 20 quid. Don't be shy to charge. And number 10, the 80-20 rule. Now, I'm sure you've all heard of the 80-20 rule, you know, whether that's 80% of your sales come from 20% of your customers, or 80% of your profits come from, you know, 20% of your customers, whatever it may be. But this is as relevant in charity events as it is in anything else. And you'll normally find that on any big night and any charitable event, most of your money comes from 2 or 3 big donors. Now, they may be the same ones time and time again. They may differ from night to night, but there'll always be 2 or 3 key people who generate most of your money for you. And what you need to do is, first of all, try and identify those people in advance so that you can make sure that you've definitely got them in on the night. If you didn't know them in advance and you see them starting to perform on the night, then you need to start to bond with them so you can nurture them as the night goes on. And when you've found them on that night, make sure that you build relationships with them to keep them going forward for event after event after event. All these big charities, they have whole departments who are just there just to look after, find and nurture relationships with super high net worth individuals. You're going to get a lot more money from, you know, 2 or 3 key high net worths than you're going to get from 200 or 300 little people along the way. You need the 200 or 300 people because it's all money, it all adds up and they pad the event out. But your real money is going to come from 2 or 3 key donors. So just like in business, think of them as your key customers or your key investors who need time, love and attention spent so that you can nurture them and make sure that they pay dividends event after event after event. So there you have it, 10 steps to sell out and make money from a charity event every single time. I promise you these 10 steps are the 10 steps that I've employed time and time and time again when it comes to putting on my events. And if you do it, you'll have the same success that I do too. But the big key is, don't think of it as a charity, think of it as a business. It's just that the profits you make from your business, you're going to be giving to charity, you're going to be doing good with, but you still need to apply all those principles of sales, marketing, distribution, adding value, and providing a great ROI for your clients.